Monday, October 27th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. That was a rough one for the 49ers yesterday. I mean, reality just didn't come to hang out with the 49ers. Reality came on in, suplexed the 49ers, gave them a DDT, and then threw them through the announcer's table right out of the ring. That was bad. That was a terrible football game. One of the worst I think we've seen of Kyle Shanahan's entire coaching career. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. Burn the tape. Move on. Sometimes you just look terrible on a football field. I don't think there's a single team in this league this year that doesn't subscribe to that. Sometimes when you look that bad on a football field, you'll look that bad on a football field with all your starters, with a healthy team, and you'll look that bad. You know, the Niners rarely are that team. But when you are absolutely being as stretched to your physical limitation as humanly possible with all of these injuries, while you are then failing to execute a game plan that didn't feel, look, or smell like the right game plan all week long, and then you don't just get beat. I mean, you get whipped in the trenches in both directions, you're going to lose football games. It's that simple. You do not need to be a football expert. You do not need to work for NFL Network. You didn't need to watch. That could have been your first football game you've ever watched. You should understand what happened there. Devastating injuries, all stacking. Look, it's a next man up league. But when the next man up is playing next to the next man up, and that guy is playing next to yet another next man up, I mean, how many next man ups do you really think you get in that deck? How many wild cards of, yeah, next man up's going to do the job, do you think you really get? Also want to give an awful lot of credit to Houston, right? Can we give some credit to the opponent? Just a little bit of credit to the opponent? CJ Stroud looked like the young quarterback the entire football world was very excited about 2 years ago. Houston's defense was very, very, very good. DeMeco's defense gave Christian McCaffrey a day at the office. That is one of the worst days at the office we've ever seen from Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey couldn't do anything in this game. And Will Anderson Jr., if he's that good every week, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Will Anderson Jr., just gave Colton McKivitz everything he wanted and a little bit more. And even after the game, McKivitz was saying, yeah, I just got beat like a drum today. It was bad. It all went bad. There was no offense to even move the chains to save your bacon. They got clobbered time of possession. They got their quarterback clobbered. They got their players clobbered. They have a wide receiver room that if you were playing against it in fantasy, you were guaranteed a win. Again, the 49ers wide receivers yesterday were the biggest group of, that ain't scary, as you're going to be able to find in football. And then Mac Jones didn't get any protection. CJ Stroud felt no pressure. Couldn't get off the field on third down. Couldn't stay on the field on third down. I mean, this is literally like the four pillars of how to get your ass kicked on a football field. If yesterday's game were a book, it wouldn't be a mystery. Which is why I said, going into it, there's a chance the Niners lose this game. I mean, yeah, in every game, there's a chance they can win it too. But if they lose this one, I'm not going to be mad at it, because you can only dodge so many pianos and safes falling out of the sky every time you go outside. Eventually, one of those things is going to hit you. Eventually, one of them is going to fall on you, the safe and the piano. Hit the 49ers on their trip to Houston yesterday. And that was bad. Move on. And look, nobody's happy about any major injuries. What happened to Cam Scataboo sucks. Absolutely sucks. It benefits the Niners' chances going to New York next week and winning that game. And again, the choice between winning a game in your conference or a game out of your conference, you're going to take the in-conference game every single chance you get. Nobody wants to hear this. I got shouted down on Wake Up with Kruger. You win next week, you're 6-3. Under the circumstances, the first 9 weeks of the season have been contested under for the 49ers. If they're 6-3 through nine, that's good news, kids. That is good news. That is overachieving. That is playing better than who you really are. Now, who you really are might get your ass kicked in the playoffs. Are you really a contender? No, not with that effort yesterday against Houston, not at all. But I don't think that's the team that would be showing up in the postseason should the 49ers actually get there. I think the Niners still have an opportunity to get a young defense a little bit better, some offensive linemen kind of ironed out and a little bit better. They are going to get more talent back conceptually anyways at some point in time this year. Still a lot of games left to play. Still an awful lot of games left to play. It is great having you here. Thank you very much. Our good friend Michelle Haberman, by the way, said, hold on, where is she? All right, what a disaster of the game yesterday. Ruined perfectly good tight end day. Look at it this way, though. Both touchdowns went to tight ends. So Kittle got his, Tongas got his, so you got that. And Michelle also says, ooh, I love the football graphic when I click the like button. You know what? I liked somebody's video the other day, too. And I saw that little graphic and football spin for the first time. They did. YouTube did make that clicking the like button sexier than it used to be. So everybody lean on in, click on it. Thank you, Michelle, for bringing that to everybody's attention. Thank you to everyone for being here. So good to see all the regs in here. So good to see a whole bunch of folks in here. Fuji Simeon, always worst case scenario, 49ers collapse. IU live watch parties. No, here's the thing. Indiana football, that's for me. That's not for you. That's no, I need that. Damon, this is those. That's like my vacation. I love you. I ain't bringing you on vacation with me. Those Indiana games are for me, baby. And totally off topic, yes, I did hear the Randy Call Celebrini overtime winner last night. Donskoy would be proud. There is no doubt. By the way, Macklin Celebrini, okay, there's something, there's very much something there, especially lately. He's been playing great. Yes, Randy Hahn, great call. I did see that. Thank you. Now he says, you should share it live stream. Randy Hahn's go. I want people to watch this stuff, Christopher. We're not going to sharing hockey. Look at it this way. Maybe when Sam Batesh comes on by on Friday, when Sam Boney's here, we'll get into a little Macklin Celebrini and Sharks with Sam in the house. But anyways, look, it is great having you all here. Tap that like button. See the new football spinning graphic. You're going to like it very, very much, but you won't like it nearly as much as lunch if you go to Ike's today. Get yourself to Ike's for an Ike sandwich. Hopefully there is one near you or coming to you soon. The ever Eastern expansion of Ike's empire does take a little bit of a detour. He's opening a spot in Hawaii. So if you're watching us in Hawaii today, you're about to have a better sandwich available to you. You might just have to hop an island to get it. Sign up for that Love Rewards program. You get a free sandwich when you sign up. You get prizes and purchase every single time, chips, drinks, all these good things. And oh, by the way, my man is turning 18 years old on Friday, an October 31st Halloween birthday for Ike's as a restaurant. I'm so proud of him, man. I really am. Go get yourself a Damon Bruce and celebrate. Think about ordering Ike's for your office catering. Or you can just take the whole office to the Dublin or West portal and just tie one on together. That's a team building exercise. I love the guys at Dublin or West Portal. An awful lot of you love Kenny and John at the Dublin or West Portal. You've been there. We've been there together. We've hung out inside, outside. It's my kind of spot. And where are you watching, you know, game three of the World Series? Where are you watching Warriors Grizzlies? Where are you watching Warriors? What do they got? Clippers tomorrow night. They're playing again on Thursday. A lot of basketball coming up for the Warriors this week. A lot of World Series games. Thursday night football. Be here before you know it. Hey, check out the Dublin or West portal. You're going to love that place. And while you're loving sports, you want to make a play or two, be better than I was yesterday on Sleeper. I took an 0-for-4 on my four-leg parlay. I haven't gone that belly up on a four-legger in a real long time. I'll even show it to you. There's a lot of guys who only brag about their wins. I'll brag about my losses. You try to go 0-4. Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown, nunca. Eddie Pinheiro, over 1.5 field goals. Tim Kawakami told me he was striping them from about 60 in warmups. So I was like, oh, Eddie's on it today. They're going to kick a couple big field goals. No, Mac Jones, 21 and a half completions. I don't think Mac Jones was able to run 21 plays yesterday. CJ Stroud, under 31 and a half pass attempts. He almost had that at halftime. That is going down in spectacular fashion. And if you're going to go down in a blaze of glory. Thanks to Sleeper, you're going to have an awful lot of fun over there. Again, I just had some fun losing a four-game parlay. Get a $100 deposit match when you sign up for Sleeper. And remaining in the month of October, a free $20 play. No deposit needed, just waiting for you there over on Sleeper. So, of course, be smart, be responsible, and have a little fun over on the world's fastest-growing fantasy app you're going to find anywhere. Again, I hope you didn't bet much or at all on the 49ers yesterday. There were, again, a few things that I thought maybe fell into the 49ers' direction and favor in that game, and then they kicked it off, and nope. No. Just couldn't get off the field on third down. Couldn't stay on the field on third down. Vic Tafer, who is back covering the 49ers, he summed it up perfectly. He said the offense didn't have a first down on six of its nine possessions while the defense blew coverages on third down all day. And yeah, not having Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and Bryce Huff didn't help. The 49ers never sacked CJ Stroud. They touched him only twice. And that is about as bad of an offensive line as you're going to find in football. Everybody in Houston has been making fun of that offensive line right up until this week. Niners made them look like world beaters. And Houston gets some credit for circling the wagons after getting embarrassed up in Seattle. That's a team full of pride with an awful lot of internal knowledge of how the 49ers go about their business. You know, how many times did D'Amico and Robert Saleh go to lunch together? How well do you think everybody knows everybody and their tendencies and what they want to do and what they're trying to do? And what I couldn't believe, and we went over this in Wake Up with Larry, is just the Niners opened up with that bend don't break soft coverage, and they got their asses kicked doing that all day, and they didn't change. They didn't change it up. The key to defensive success is trying to make the other team play left-handed. And boy, did the Houston Texans do that. They took away Christian McCaffrey, who is the 49ers' right hand, better than any team. I mean, that is D'Amico knowing what Kyle wants to do with Christian McCaffrey, and they just took it away by winning on the line of scrimmage. They took it away by being in the right place at the right time. They took it away by predicting what was coming. And you can take an awful lot away from an offense that isn't even out there to run 45 plays today. 44 plays. That's all the offense ran. 44 plays. It's 11 plays a quarter. They would have loved to have run 11 plays in that first quarter. I believe they ran four. A time of possession double up that you usually don't see go against the 49ers. It was just an absolute ass kicking of the first degree. Again, comprehension of football means you know what happened yesterday. You should know what happened yesterday. That you shouldn't be wondering what just happened. A football team that is as hurt as any football team as you can find ran into a really good defense who just got embarrassed the week before. Hey, maybe some of these things will be in play for the Giants as they do head to New York and they go and play on MetLife turf where I'm sure no one will get hurt. I know everybody wants to be angry. I know everybody wants to blame somebody. Everybody likes to play that blame game. You want to blame somebody for shit not working? Blame the guy who told you I'm $20 million good and hasn't even been $20 good. I'm not saying this is all Juwan Jennings' fault, but boy, he's been bad. He's been awful. Josh Dubow shared this yesterday. 112 players have 25 or more targets this season. Quarterbacks, Niners quarterbacks, when they throw to Juwan Jennings, have a 38 passer rating. That is 110th in football. So congratulations, Mr. I think I'm worth $20 million. You're the 110th best option in a passing game in this league right now. Throwing the ball in the dirt on every play gets you a quarterback rating of 39.6. Throwing a ball to Juwan Jennings gets you a passer rating of 38. Throwing the ball into dirt is having a better year than Juwan Jennings. So that's a problem. You know, it's good to see George Kittle get involved in that passing game after being very involved in a running game that worked. Yes, how come it's got to be all one or the other, right? So Kittle goes out and passes, and your running game is the worst of the year? It was a bad game. Burn the tape. Never talk of it again. Let's never speak of that again. I'm sure there are some learning moments in there. All tape is teachable. I would burn that tape and never speak of it again. Just awful. Awful, awful. Tatum Bethune had a career-high 14 tackles. Congratulations to him. You know, maybe he is going to go ahead and be able to give this something at linebacker, but it doesn't matter what you're giving a team at linebacker when a defensive line is just playing patty cake. And that's what they've done. They played patty cake with other teams' offensive lines. It was a bad day, and it was as worse a half for this offense as I think we've ever seen, right? They didn't gain a first down until the final drive of the first half. Oh, they did get that interception, though. Diamador Lenore broke an NFL record of futility by ending the 14-game streak without an interception that the 49ers defense was looking at there. But unfortunately, while that happened, again, CG, Christian McCaffrey goes from best game of the year to worst game of the year. Mac Jones just didn't stand a chance out there. He was pressured 50% of the time. And when it came to third down and staying on the field, they just couldn't do it. I mean, there was the Niners were not part of Rhythm Nation. No rhythm yesterday. A rhythmless game. And again, Houston gets an awful lot of credit for that. They really do. So now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to make a trade here, John Lynch? What are you going to do? Is it time for Arden Key? Is it time for Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips? I think I've just said the name out loud that you are going to be trading for. Do it now. Do it now. Maybe Jermaine Johnson in New York. You just fly to New York and you pick him up there. I don't know, but do something, because just hoping that this team is going to be able to figure it out with what they got is probably a little bit wishful thinking. And I'm not saying mortgage the future here, but you got to do a little bit something more. As ugly as that was, as bad as it was, you can still be a 6-3 football team with a win next week. Are you exactly who your record says you are? In this case, no. But they are 6-3, whether you like it or not, whether you think they've earned it or not, whether you think that they fit the suit of a 6-3 football team, or if it's loose fitting on them, it doesn't matter. It's theirs. They're wearing it. If they win next week, they will be 6-3. So let's see. Let's see. There's an awful, awful lot of football still out there. But yeah, I mean, we could sit here and go over and over and over and over and over. And oh, McKivitz was bad and Connor Colby was bad. And this team doesn't have anybody up front to stop the run right now. And, you know, why are guys that you've never heard of all on their rookie deals in Houston having such big games today? What's going on? Why? What? How? Your team travels by ambulance. You know how hard it is to charter 80 ambulances to travel an NFL team? That's what the 49ers need to do. San Francisco ran 12 offensive plays in the first half. About that. I mean, they ran 44 plays on the day. 44 plays on the day. That's it. That's an awful afternoon of football. Awful. Hit like and subscribe, my good friends. It's great having you here. Look, it was bad. There's just no other way to say it. Get back to practice this week. Hey, if you're going to get Jordan Watkins involved, why don't you see if you can get him involved early in a game. Don't wait to the last play of the game where something has to happen and then you're going to go to him. I mean, let's get guys involved earlier in game plans. I'm done. I'm not saying any more about that game. How can I say we should stop talking about it and then continue to talk about it and not be a total hypocrite? So I'm done. Burn the tape. Watch the video, like it, and subscribe. So, look, week 8 was blowout city, and we were talking about that just on Friday. You know, I had our buddy Sam Batesian said, this is the week where the cream starts to rise, and there's a little separation between the haves and the have-nots, and the natural halfway point of a football season, historically, week 8. So here you are. This is kind of who you are at this point in the year, and that's the only saving grace that the Niners have coming out of yesterday. What you saw from the Niners, that's not who they are. It's who they were yesterday, but that's not who I think they're going to be tomorrow. So that's their saving grace. All but one of Sunday's game decided by double digits. All but one. Now, let's see what happens on Monday Night Football tonight. But 11 of 12 games we've seen so far in Week 8 have been decided by 10 or more points. That is a 92% clip. That is the highest beatdown rate going back to the 1990 NFL season. So this was the week where a lot of game plans got away from an awful lot of teams. If the games felt like they were missing something, well, you had 8 of the 24 teams in a backup quarterback yesterday. 8 of the 24 teams that have played so far in Week 8 weren't able to start their preferred quarterback. 6 of the 7 1 o'clock games had at least one backup quarterback taking the field. And of course, Mac Jones, who's doing a hell of a job trying to, you know, convince everybody he could be a starting quarterback again in this league and has done a very good job doing that. He's about as good of a backup quarterback as you're going to find out there right now. And he had a tough one yesterday and still threw for 2 touchdowns. It was a tough week of football. Burn the tape. All right. What do we got here? When the run works for 8 yards on first down, go with another run. Drives me crazy when they go to passing next. This is, again, something I was talking about with Kruger. It feels like when the Niners find something that's working, instead of sticking with what's working, they immediately start looking for something else to work. And I guess that is down the board thinking in terms of coaching. You don't want anyone to start gleaning onto your tendencies. But at the same time, if something's working, it's not really a tendency as much as it's just something that it's working. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Another question I have, and maybe this is just because your talent isn't talented enough to do that, which is a whole other conversation, but how come teams can have like one offensive option, right? Like basically the Cincinnati Bengals are Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase. And everybody knows that, you know, T. Higgins, I guess, is out there and you got to respect that. But it's Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase. And Joe is going to be looking for Ja'Marr on every single play. And he's going to be going to Ja'Marr on every other play. And it seems like there's nothing that can be done to stop that by anybody, whether you know it's coming or not. It feels like the 49ers never even get to the, well, they're expecting to go to this guy, that they have to go to somebody else because they're so expecting. It's just they don't force feed anybody. How are you not force feeding Kittle? How are you not force feeding Ricky Pearsall? How are you not putting Christian McCaffrey out there and force feeding him the ball as a wide receiver? You know, Jordan Watkins makes his NFL debut and we don't see him until like the last 6 plays of a football game. Not even out on the field. burn the tape. Burn it all. All right. A couple of other NFLs that's interesting. Well, one of them is interesting. The other is sad. There are five quarterbacks in NFL history who have had 200 plus passing yards and 100 plus passer rating in seven straight games. Let me set that up again. Five total quarterbacks in NFL history who've thrown for more than 200 yards with a passer rating better than 100 7 weeks in a row. Those five guys who have done it 7 weeks in a row. Well, I mean, it's a picture of, you know, either in the or going to the Hall of Fame. It's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Those are unquestionably the four best quarterbacks that we've seen in the last, what, two decades of football. The fifth guy is Drake May. Five quarterbacks in NFL history, 200 yards passing and 100 or more passer rating in seven straight games. Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Mahomes, May. Okay, New England, I guess we're on that alone going to have to start paying a little bit more attention to you, but Mike Vrabel and the Patriots all of a sudden got a little something kicking. And what was far and away the saddest thing, and by the way, respect to Carol Davis, the matriarch of the Davis family, passed away. We make an awful lot of fun of Mark Davis. There's no need to be made fun of that man. Lost his mother. You know, he was lucky enough to do that very late in his life. When you lose a parent, it's a sad thing. So, you know, respect to Mark Davis and the passing of the matriarch and you know, the widow of Al Davis. Nick Mangold, though. Nick Mangold is someone who just passed away of kidney disease, and he's 41 years old. He was a really good center with the New York Jets. He was a really beloved player at Ohio State, and everybody that played with him just loved the guy. He was Trey Anastasio's favorite football player of all time, the lead singer of Phish. It's just very, very sad. And you knew that it was a dire situation where just like 10 days ago, you know, there was a public ask for, hey, any Jets fans or Ohio State alumni, you know, got a kidney that could match the situation I'm in right now. And unfortunately, you know, no donor became available, and it's very, very sad. 41 years old, man. That is way too young to be passing away. Very, very sad. Rest in peace. Let's see. What else have we got? Tonight, hey, get your clicker out. You're going to need it. It's game three of the World Series. It's Monday Night Football, and it's a Warrior game. You're going to need that clicker in your hand tonight. The World Series is tied one game apiece. At 5 o'clock, we get underway with game three from Dodger Stadium. Good pitching matchup tonight. Tyler Glasnow and Max Scherzer, whenever Scherzer is out there. The guy's just such a bulldog. He's such a competitor. He's always, that's going to be fun watching Scherzer deal with this Dodgers lineup. Yamamoto, what can you say about Yoshi? This guy is the Japanese Greg Maddux. He threw his second consecutive postseason complete game. That just doesn't happen anymore, kids. He was very good up in Toronto. And this series is tied at one. You know, Toronto came out with a big, loud game one win. I said Dodgers gentlemen sweep. Dodgers in five. That's still out there until it isn't. So, first 1-3 wins will be your World Series champion. Good luck to you, Toronto Blue Jays. I think Doyers take this one tonight. We got Warriors and Grizzlies. That's also coming up tonight, right? We got it's the first of back-to-back games. So, you know, which are you not playing Horford against? Because Horford's not going to be playing back-to-back, apparently, this year. So it's the first of back-to-back games. You got Memphis tonight, the Clippers here with their tree trimming service, and Kawhi Leonard tomorrow. Thursday, they're going to be in Milwaukee. So an awful lot of basketball coming up this week for the Warriors. Back-to-back, a day off, travel day to Milwaukee. Then they're taking on Giannis. So, you know, already an old team's going to be stretched with those legs this week. It's a little early in the season to be talking like this, but that's how old the Warriors are. Jonathan Kuminga, keep it up, kid. How about this? Who is the Warriors' leading rebounder right now? If the answer is Jonathan Kuminga, that means he's got to stay, right? It's Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga, it's 7.1 rebounds right now is the Warriors' leading rebounder. That's why he's getting those minutes. Keep it up, kid. You want to get in the good graces of your teammates and this coaching staff? You want to be identified as a guy who fits in better? Rebound. Play defense. There you go. All the minutes in the world, all the opportunity, all the financial freedom you could ever hope for. It's waiting right here for you if you rebound and play defense. So Kuminga, keep it up. In a world where, honestly, Curry hasn't had one of them like, oh, man, he's going off games. He's had some big shots, as always. But Curry hasn't even played very well, I don't think so, to start this year. And he's averaging 33.3 points per game. You know, Curry's not even really on one yet, and he's averaging 33 a game, so that's got to be good. What can't be good, though, is that he's leading the Warriors in blocks. Like, tell me you're a small basketball team. Steph Curry is leading your basketball team in blocks. You know, Trayce Jackson-Davis, get on the floor and change that. Al Horford, change that. Jonathan Kuminga, change that. Draymond Green, change that. Steph Curry cannot be the Warriors' blocks leader. And you go to the postseason at the same time. That just, it doesn't feel like those two walk hand in hand together. So hopefully that'll improve. Warriors have started three games this year. They're 2-1. We got a little ways to go in the NBA season. So we talked Niners. We talked World Series. We talked Warriors. Now I want to talk about when standards are hard to meet. And, oh, by the way, this is probably just more proof that as you walk through life, try to be less of an asshole. Well, I'm trying. Some days I succeed, some days I fail. But as I walk through life, I'm going out of my way trying to be less of an asshole. And Brian Kelly might still be the head coach of LSU if he had tried to do that for a singular moment. Nobody likes Brian Kelly, but it's really hard knowing that his buyout is 50 something million dollars to look at what he's done on the field and say, yeah, this is an on-field resume, which must be dismissed in season right now. It's over. Brian Kelly has the personality of an angry Irish guy, which played well enough in South Bend for many, many years. But then Brian Kelly gets gone at Notre Dame. He shows up at LSU, and he immediately shows up with like a Southern twang. Guy who spent his entire life basically in South Bend, now all of a sudden is talking like he's an Oak Ridge boy. It was ridiculous. So Brian Kelly and his fake accent, like Madonna moved to London for 3 days and she became Eliza Doolittle with a Cockney accent. It was ridiculous. You ever had a buddy move to New York and then all of a sudden they're talking like Vinnie Boombatz? Like, where did you pick up a thick Brooklyn accent? You've lived in Manhattan for 3 months. What are you doing? Anyway, this past weekend, LSU got smacked at home by Texas A&M, and Brian Kelly's gone. Now, LSU is not playing like LSU is supposed to play. And I could see that you can make the argument, well, culturally, it's not really fitting the way it's supposed to. And this just doesn't, this isn't the style that LSU likes. This isn't working here. So Brian Kelly, like, you got to go. You got to go. There's no patience for you anymore. You and your $53 million got to get rid of you today in the name of this football program. The LSU athletic director said, When Coach Kelly arrived at LSU 4 years ago, we had high hopes that he would lead us to multiple SEC and national championships during his time in Baton Rouge. Unfortunately, the success at the level that LSU demands simply did not materialize, and I made the decision and I made a change after last night's game. So clearly, LSU is way off the rails, right? Well, again, if Indiana is ever to reach a point where this is just thoroughly unacceptable, I will have realized we have made it. I think LSU is fooling itself a little bit here. LSU is a great football program. LSU is one of the SEC heavyweights, but there are so many contending heavyweights in the SEC. It's not like you're just going to dominate every year. You can't. LSU fell to 5-3 on the season. 5-3, rarely a got to get rid of this guy record, right? So they're 5-3. Okay, well, 2-3 in SEC play. Who did they just lose to? Must have been really embarrassing. Well, you know, LSU never wants to lose at home to anybody. But if you're going to lose at home to anybody, maybe when it's the third ranked team in the country, it's a little less of a fireable offense. Texas A&M is very, very good. Very good. So they lose to the number three team in the country, and he's got to go. Well, then tell me about the entire resume. It must be a lot of bad years here stacked on top of each other. Well, not really. You know, LSU, and this might be a little disappointing for LSU, but you don't see a lot of coaches in season four get their silver bullet of retirement when they're 20 games over 500. Chip Kelly was 34-14 across four seasons. Okay, well, it must have been really bad in SEC play. Again, maybe not as good as LSU wanted, but they were 19-10. 19-10 over four seasons in conference play. Well, then he must not have delivered in bowl games. He was 3-0 in bowl games. Well, they maybe never made the SEC championship while he was there. Well, they haven't made it the last 3 years, but his first year in Baton Rouge, they were in the SEC championship game. Well, then he's not developing guys. Tell that to Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels, who went number two in the draft. Probably should have gone number one. Brian Kelly doesn't have a fire him immediately resume. He's got a fire him immediately attitude. Brian Kelly wants to condemn and motherfuck any single person who asks him a question he doesn't like in a press conference, to the point where when it's time for somebody in the media to write the, hey, you know, maybe don't fire this guy if it's going to cost you $50 million with this resume. Nobody wrote that article because nobody likes the guy. Nobody. As the asshole is falling out of the airplane, is going to toss the asshole a parachute. Brian Kelly assholed himself out of the SEC. One of the funniest videos that I saw over the weekend was after Brian Kelly shows up, you know, in Baton Rouge with the Southern accent. Where is he going to go now? Brian Kelly's going to coach next year if he wants to. Indiana just curb stomped UCLA. Maybe UCLA is going to be looking for a new coach next year. Somebody put a video up of some surfer talking like, dude, gnarly waves, bro. And like, this is how Brian Kelly is going to interview for the UCLA job. Let me tell you, if Brian Kelly couldn't get it done at the highest levels at Notre Dame and at LSU, maybe the expectation to win is mid enough for Brian Kelly to reach some happiness in Pasadena. I don't know. But UCLA is a disaster. They could use some help. But isn't that something else? I mean, it's just proof in life. Eventually, you're going to need somebody to throw you a life preserver. Total assholes while they're drowning get no life preservers thrown to them. It's a life lesson here from the world of sports. Isn't that nice? All right. Before we got to get to today in history, what do we got? I mean, I'll agree with you. 86 Birdman. By the way, a lot of people's handles have changed. I don't know what happened with YouTube, but like the postman in Capitola's now got to use his name. I don't know what happened with YouTube handles and people's chat names, but I have seen them change a little. It's weird. Brian Kelly never felt like a fit at LSU. He really didn't. He really didn't. Kelly, 1-3 in season openers. Again, that's not going to help. Aren't they? Isn't IU crushing? LSU, not the same since Kruger and Tolbert were at a game. Yeah, it's funny. I don't think either of them knew they were at that game, the same game with the other guy. But yeah, every single year, Larry Kruger goes to Baton Rouge to see an LSU game, they fire their head coach midseason. Can't deny that. Got JP in the 510 says, loss at Death Valley at night. That always hurts. I mean, it does. But Texas A&M is really good. Really good. All right. We ready to go? And yeah, I know. Look at, we got the 86 Birdman. This is Otis. Oh, I know. It's still your picture, Otis. I know you. Otis Bird the third. But yeah, did you change that or did it just get changed on you there? I don't know. Today in history. It's not a big day in history, that's for sure. You're about to agree with that when you hear what historical things happened today. First of all, a weird day for celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday to the minister of silly walks himself. John Cleese of Monty Python, 86 years old today. Again, this is the second time we brought up A Fish Called Wanda in as many weeks. Watch the movie A Fish Called Wanda. You get peak John Cleese, peak Kevin Kline, peak Jamie Curtis. It's a fabulous movie. 86 years old today. Happy birthday, John Cleese. Happy 41st birthday to Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, sister of Jack Osbourne. Today she's 41 years old. Lonzo Ball, 28 years old. Feels like Lonzo Ball has been in the news for 28 of his 28 years on Earth, almost. That guy was overexposed early. The balls are still here. I got to be honest with you. Everyone should go to Amsterdam. That's got nothing to do with the red light district. It has nothing to do with weed. You can get weed anywhere these days, and you can probably, you know, OnlyFans your way to a hooker any day you need one here, too. But Amsterdam is one of the coolest cities you will ever go to. And today in 1275, Amsterdam in the Kingdom of the Netherlands was officially founded. So happy birthday, Amsterdam. That is one of the most charming, picturesque, beautiful, friendly, welcoming, awesome towns you will ever, ever, ever go to. Go to Amsterdam. It's awesome. It's awesome. Today in 1904, the very first underground New York City subway line opened, which means if that happened today in 1904, tomorrow in 1904, we had the first guy jumping a fare. So first fare dodger, tomorrow in 1904, today the subway opened in New York City. In 1964, today, Ronald Reagan delivered a Time for Choosing speech on behalf of Republican presidential candidate Barry Goldwater. This is the moment that Ronald Reagan started becoming a darling of the Republican Party. He gave a hell of a speech. And even though Barry Goldwater did not do very well that election, that absolutely put Reagan on the map. Ronald Reagan found himself on the map this week talking about how tariffs are bad, which they are. Okay, what else we got? 1966. Today, it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, aired on CBS for the very first time. I mean, that's so much of a Halloween classic. I'm sure it's going to be on this week. The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I've always thought Charlie Brown and the Peanuts and Snoopy were just the biggest group of loser ass kids I've ever seen. I didn't relate to them at all. There's a loser kid. I never liked Snoopy or Charlie Brown or any of that. But even I have seen the damn Pumpkin Show. You know, Linus, afraid of pumpkins. What are we teaching our kids? One of what I thought was one of the most single interesting TV shows that I watched the shit out of when it debuted. And if it were on today, I would still watch it. Today in 1996, Pop-Up Video premiered on VH1. Do you remember Pop-Up Video? It was basically, here are music videos with little factoids just popping up all over it. Just little thought bubbles of facts. I loved it. I thought it was so interesting. I thought Pop-Up Video was fascinating. You take two of the things I like the most. You take music and trivia and combine them. I loved Pop-Up Video on VH1. Freaking awesome show. We need more Pop-Up Videos. Yeah, Damon taking shots at Charlie Brown. Nobody's safe here on this show. Again, I'm trying to be less of an asshole segment right before the Screw Charlie Brown segment. Probably doesn't line up very well, but I got to be me. I know Bay Area, the Peanuts, Bay Area original, Charles Schulz Marin, the guy who wrote the Peanuts theme, went to the high school Lincoln, my wife went to. I know, I get it. I know. I thought so too, Tuba Sun God. Pop-Up Video was great. See, Habes, we might disagree on the Peanuts, but you love that Pop-Up Video. Pop-Up Video, pretty cool. I even remember the pop, pop, pop video. They used the pop, pop, pop music song, and they tried to do a little something with that. Everybody, da-ba-da, pop-a-da, pop-mop music. Whatever that song is. Oh, Red Sox fans became obnoxious after this one. Today in 2004, they beat the Cardinals to win the World Series, but it was really what they did to the Yankees in the ALCS before that that made that so special. Beating the Cardinals for the actual World Series win was one thing. What they did to the Yankees coming back from 3-1 down in the ALCS when Dave Roberts stole that base at Fenway, pretty amazing. So that was certainly a moment in baseball history, and who knows what kind of moments baseball history serves up to us this evening at Dodger Stadium. But we got Game 3 of the World Series, we got Monday Night Football, and we got the Warriors. That is a good night on the couch with the clicker, so enjoy. And hopefully you come on back here Tuesday, 11 a.m. West Coast time for another Damon Bruce Plus. Of course, we'll be doing 11 o'clock shows on Wednesday and Friday as well when Sam Patesh joins us. But Thursday, I'm just going to let you know right now, Thursday, you can take the day off on Thursday because I am too. I'm going to be volunteering at my son's school for Pumpkin Patch Day. I'm going to be the great pumpkin. I'm going to be the pumpkin king on Thursday as there's a pumpkin patch at my son's school, and I'm going to go volunteer. I'm going to be the dad volunteering at the school on Thursday. See? Not an asshole. Thanks very much for tuning in. It was great having you here. If you have not seen that new fancy spinning football that happens when you hit like and subscribe, so let's say you were watching like a makeup tutorial. Because I know that's a big thing on YouTube. Let's say you're watching a makeup tutorial and you like that video. Does that video have like a spinning lipstick? It's not everybody gets spinning footballs, but we have been designated a spinning football channel because this is a sports channel. Is that how that works? I don't know. Somebody go like a makeup tutorial video and report back tomorrow in the chat and tell me what happens there. Thank you very, very much for tuning in. Again, like and subscribe if you would, please. Thank you so much for watching. And do remember to eat at Ike's, have a little fun over on Sleeper, use the promo code that you see in the description of this live stream, use promo code Damon, Go get yourself a good night at the Dubliner when you can. You'll be happy that you did. And remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.